Tim Donaghy, and you're listening to the Advantage Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Advantage. I am your host, Michael Fiddle. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, and on today's podcast, we are breaking down NBA best bets for every single game that is priced on the board, which includes Miami Heat versus Boston Celtics Wednesday night up until the Minnesota Timberwolves take on the Denver Nuggets game one of round two on Saturday night. I am joined by two professional gamblers who are in my circle of life, but not really in the content game. I guess I could start to consider them in the content space because they've been joining me weekly here on The Advantage. You know them, Drew and Mike. We will bring them in after the break. But before we get started, let me remind everyone to please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are listening to. To sign up for the fiddlespicks.substack.com. That is my free gambling newsletter in which you will get all of my picks and future podcast links. And of course, if you want to watch this podcast as a video, you could check it out on the Fantasy Basketball International YouTube channel. Let's get it popping and start breaking down some of these games.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do it, say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny in 10. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
All right, welcome in, everybody. I'm joined by Drew Johnson and Mike Levy. How you guys doing, fellas? I want to start this off, throw it right to Mike, because I know he's a Knicks fan, and we are recording this 10 minutes after the overtime thriller in which Tyrese Maxey had all of everything in his bag working, making the biggest clutch shot, draining deep threes like he's fucking Stephen Curry. All of that was unbelievable. Mike, what was the bigger deal in that span? Was it the foul on Mitch Robinson causing the four-point play, or was it the no foul when Tyrese then tied the game up in the subsequent deep three to force overtime?
Nice to be with you, Mike and Drew. I would call it the four-point play because that is just such a momentum changer, and the Knicks really had that game. I was texting with a Philly friend of mine, basically kind of calling the game over, which is never a good idea, but I just didn't. It looked like the Knicks had it, and that four-point play was terrible. Obviously, you know, the also questionable about not fouling Maxey at the end there instead of letting him get the three off, but it just kind of went, as they say in poker, perfect for Philly there. The Knicks just couldn't come up with a basket. That Hart missing the free throw, so it really took quite a confluence of events to for Philly there, and they kind of rode the momentum. The Knicks took the 5-point lead in overtime, but just cannot get a stop. Maxey was just unbelievable. He's just very quick, and that was a tough one for the Knicks, but they still they've played well in Philly. The fan support's been good down there for them, and with game seven at home, hopefully for myself and Knicks backers as well, that they win game six. But that was an unbelievable game for sure.
Drew, what was a crazier finale? Tonight's game five in the Garden or DiVincenzo's crazy game two? It's insane that we have two of those finishes in the same series.
I think game two, what were the Knicks up in game two? It was like 15 seconds left and they were up five and they lose.
I think
Philly was up.
Philly was up five, 14 seconds.
Yeah. I think that's the crazier outcome. That I remember thinking of that game as like, as it was happening, as being redemption for Reggie Miller. And like, it was just one of those things where I was like, oh, this has come full circle now. Finally, the Knicks are actually going to get away from hearing about that every other, week.
Speaking of Reggie Miller,
Pacers, etc.
Speaking of Reggie Miller, he said earlier in the playoffs that, like, I wonder if they're going to purposely miss this free throw and then make them shoot a full court shot and just win on a 3-point lead and not go to a 4-point game with like 6 seconds left. It was the dumbest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. In that same vein, we are going to start hearing the rumbles that you might be first listening to it on The Advantage, but it is going to come in the next few days, an absolute firestorm of people saying you had to foul Tyrese Maxey on the inbound pass and not let him get up that logo type three. We saw it with Chris Middleton in Bucks Pacers. Ultimately, Tyrese Halliburton would hit a game winner in that game, but that went to overtime and then tied in overtime to go to double overtime twice because they forewent fouling Brooke Lopez and then Middleton in those games. Here we have it again. If you are up two and you have less than 10 seconds remaining in the game and you are a coach, fucking call your team to intentionally foul after the ball has been inbounded and force them to play the free throw game as time expires. Let's get right into this slate, fellas. I'm just going to throw it straight to you, Drew. What is your best bet that is currently priced on the board?
Everything is tight this time of year, and I'm like, finding value on just about anything is tough. But I do think there's a little bit of value on the T-Wolves coming into Denver. I would say those teams, from what we've seen in the playoffs thus far, are pretty much pick 'em. And the Nuggets having that extra couple of points on the spread, I think, is a bit much. I expect the Timberwolves to come in there, play with heart, play the way they've been playing for the first four games of the playoffs, especially game four in Phoenix, where they put the Suns away, didn't give them any breathing room basically the whole game. I had bet the Wolves in that game. I had bet them in game three as well. And it was nice to see them both pull both those games off. I think Denver getting played as close as they did against the Lakers, I don't know if that's saying something about where Denver's at this time in their title defense, or if they were just a little lackadaisical in that first round series. And we've also got the Murray question. So I think all those factors lean towards riding the points with the Timberwolves in this game.
So Mike, that game opens as Wolves +5. I've spoke often on this podcast about key numbers in the NBA. 5 is the second most common outcome. It is the singular most common push number in the NBA simply because the volume of games that are priced there. It seems to have universally moved to the 4.5. So Drew is right in identifying Wolves as the correct angle. I'm a bit scared because their coach, Chris Finch, is going into surgery this week for a torn patella tendon as he got crashed into in the sidelines, and he's going to be hopped up on painkillers and then on crutches or on a wheelchair trying to coach the game. I think that's more of a big deal than is meant to be let on. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily wanting to back Denver. Just because I'm cautious about something else doesn't mean I'm sold on the other side. What are your opinions on this game and where this currently stands?
I like what Drew said in terms of, I was really impressed by Minnesota in game four watching it. That was a really tough spot for them. They could have easily, wilted away there and just said, oh, we'll come back for game five. But down the stretch, I mean, their defense, their rebounding, their will was really outstanding. I really think they'll be riding the momentum into game one. And I agree. Something about Denver just seems a little bit off compared to years past. They, fallen behind all three home games to the Lakers. And just, not great three-point shooting. I think Denver will probably find a way to win the series. But I do like Minnesota in game one, like Drew. But the one I'll go to is tomorrow night, Dallas and the Clippers. I couldn't find the first quarter out there, but I did find a first half under 107 that I like. I didn't see the fourth quarter. I was at the airport, but I was watching a little bit at the hotel bar, and I did see that was a wild game. And just the fourth quarter was so high scoring. And I watched all of game two in LA, and that was a real meat grinder of a game. I think without Kawhi and Paul George putting up 26, like off the bat last game when I was watching, and that's probably not going to happen again. I think Dallas's defense has been pretty good overall. PJ Washington, Derek Jones, Derek Lively. I like their interior D. I don't trust the Clippers to be hot shooting like that again. So I think we see a little bit of a lower scoring first half there. And I would probably lean on Dallas to close it out, but I like the first half under 107 there in that game better.
I love that take. I want to dive a little bit deeper. I already grabbed the full game under 209.5. I already grabbed the Dallas Mavericks minus 2.5. So I like that we're on the same side. Let me ask you, Mike, why are you choosing first half under as opposed to a full game situation? What's inclining you to look for first quarter?
I like playing an under early on in either the first quarter or half after like a really high scoring fourth quarter of the game before, because I just think there's a little bit, yes, it's the playoffs and there's always inclination to play defense, but I think they come out a little more defensive minded after, you know, giving up 40 points in the fourth quarter or whatever, you know, 39-33, whatever it was. And I think, and I just always worry at the end of these games, there's nothing, the teams have, you know, they're going to keep fouling till the cows come home. And just always seems to, that Nick Philly was kind of a dead under, and you know, case in point, and just and all hell broke loose at the end there. I just I think it's easier for, well, first quarter you really drill it down, but since I don't see any lines, I think the first half, you know, you get a little bit of a defensive battle, and then I'm worried that it could open up in the second half, and you know, Doncic and Irving go ham like they have been, and so that would be why I would like the first half more.
Well, to your point, Paul George and James Harden, I believe, started 10 for 13 on three-pointers in the first half of last game. So absolute shooting anomaly. That's probably not going to happen again. They ended up shooting 4 for 8 in the second half. And as a team, were 62% from three, the Clippers, in game four. I think that is absolutely wild. I also noticed Luka picked up 2 quick fouls in that game and really lost his sense of aggression. Now, Kyrie was able to take over and be the driving force of the Dallas offense. But I, you know, was very thrown off by the hot start for the Clippers and the foul trouble for the Dallas Mavericks, that I was like, yeah, go right back to the under. From a market perspective, the game finished at like 226 in game four. It reopened exactly where the game four total was at 209.5 and immediately starts taking under action. So they went, throw bullshit on your shooting variance for one game. We don't care. We're not going to price it in. We're going to throw it out. It meant nothing to us. This game should be priced at sub 210. It doesn't matter that it went to 226. I think those are all very interesting points. The bet that I like the most is probably, I'm wondering if it's priced out, but it's probably the under on Minnesota Timberwolves versus Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets over unders at home, backing unders, have been an absolute wagon all season. They will be in the altitude for this game. Of course, they're going to be rested. They're going to come in with their defensive schemes. Generally, rested legs leads to better defense. When we try and attack teams on the second leg of a back-to-back, we say their defense is going to suffer and the other offense might take a spike. So rested legs might lead to really intense defense. We've seen the Minnesota Timberwolves struggle with late game offense, except for the last month of basketball. So I kind of want to sell on that they've been kind of figured out fourth quarter offense and late stretches. When the game gets tight, and it will tighten up in the second round of the NBA playoffs more than it has in the last 6 weeks for this team, give me the under 208 now, Timberwolves Nuggets. I got 210. I would play it smaller if you are grabbing that number. Any thoughts on the under in that direction, guys?
I like it for all the reasons that you said.
Yeah, I was going to just throw in that Minnesota is going to be off for about a week, too. They played Sunday night, and they're playing Saturday afternoon. You know, there's going to be a feeling out process. You know, some Denver started slow in some of these games, so I could definitely, yeah. And if it starts slow enough, you should have plenty of room there with the under, barring anything crazy. But I don't think that's a bad
call. I think if Denver starts slow in this game, it's going to be like they're not just going to be able to execute at the level that they did against the Lakers. I think the Timberwolves defense is too much for them to have that happen. And if the Timberwolves come out like I think they're going to, They're going to be throwing their best punch in that first quarter on both ends of the floor. And if Denver can't weather it, like, you could see that game get out of hand the opposite way quickly.
I just took such a bad beat in the Cleveland-Orlando game. Let me temporarily explain what just happened. Cleveland won. They were up 4 with 1 second left. I have Cavs minus 4. We are about to push. Orlando makes a meaningless 3. It ends as a 1-point game with 0 seconds remaining. There was nothing that could have happened to change the game, but simply ruin my spread. How fucking beautiful. To the other point, Mike, you said that the the Knicks Sixers game was a dead nuts under today. I was on the over, so I guess I got lucky there. That's why I started laughing earlier, because I got so lucky when they pulled out that overtime and sent it to an over. I'm looking at this Sixers Knicks game 6 that is being priced right now, and I'm noticing it's opened at 76ers minus 3.5. We've had consensus markets kind of in both directions that when it's in New York, it's going to be New York by 4, 4.5, or 5. When it's in Philadelphia, it's going to be Philadelphia spread by 4, 4.5, or 5, even up to 5.5. Given this price coming out at 76ers minus 3.5 as they go back home, is there any reason that we shouldn't bet 76ers now and understand that we're likely to get CLV and market to move in the same direction that is closed every other game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a little curious that they opened the point lower there after the Sixers won. And the
right?
That's
what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. So what I, a little note there is that it's been like 30 to 40% Knicks fans down there. And I live in Philly as a Knicks fan, and there, the Eagles are by far their number one. And I'm surprised they're letting this many Knicks fans in the building selling their tickets. But it was really loud on Sunday when the Knicks were playing well. So I think the bookmakers are downgrading Philly's home court advantage a little bit, and that could be what it is. I'm not sure exactly, but I've had success. I was a little heavier on the Knicks tonight money line, so I lost a little in game, but had success on previous games in gaming because there's just been a lot of runs back and forth, and the Knicks are better in the second quarter. The Sixers seem to start out hot in the first quarter, so my play will be live betting it back and forth. I don't really see any value on the 3.5 there.
Drew, it's at 3 at PointsBet, 3 minus 115 at DraftKings. I don't know where these numbers opened. I'll have to check with each individual books and those information providers after the podcast because we were recording. So I don't know what's taken a little bit of movement and what's taken some steam in either direction. How do you feel about 76ers versus Knicks minus 3? Any thoughts on that opening line?
The one thing I'll mention is that Joel Embiid had a quadruple double tonight, if you count turnovers. and just the way he's moving on the court, I really feel like the length of this series is starting to get to him. We've seen his points total drop 3 consecutive games. Obviously, he had that 50 bomb on Friday, I think it was. I can't remember exactly what day. All these games are starting to run together for me, as I'm sure everybody can connect with me on that at the moment. I just think, especially like you were saying with that home court advantage, I actually like the Knicks in this game coming up. I think, you know, Philly's going to make it a rock fight, but every one of these games has been a rock fight, and I think the Knicks have enough to outlast them, as barring foul trouble will be the issue there. If they can keep off of fouling Embiid, you know, 16 times a game or whatever it's been, I think they have a real shot. So
yeah, I don't see Tobias Harris duplicating what he did tonight. I mean, he's been pretty poor in this series.
Who?
Tobias Harris
for Philly. I don't know who that player is. Invisible.
That's a basketball exactly. player. He plays exactly. in the NBA.
Mike, I'm just letting you know, people who have been longtime listeners of The Advantage know I am Tobias's number one hater when it becomes an important game. So I'm fucking with you when I say, who the hell are you talking about? Because that man goes invisible when you need him most. He actually played well tonight. He was like 7 for 11 and had some
he hit some contested 3-pointers at the beginning of the game, and that really ended up helping them. But I mean, their role players were really outplayed by the Knicks last game, and usually the old Hubie Brown adage, who was like the godfather of basketball, is that the role players for the, you know, play the home team. If the role players, their role players will play well, and depending on who the home team is, but yeah,
early betting more depth for that game I don't know how much you guys value early betting splits, but we're seeing 56% of the bets, 66% of early money come in and take Knicks plus three. We're seeing 58% of early bets, 88% of early money take the under 200.5. Maybe the under is developing as a little bit of a sharp spot. It is game six unders are apparently a very big trend. I'm going to be on Buckets later this week and next week where they consistently talk about game six unders as trends. So I do think that number is going to take some steam down. It's probably going to end up in this, you know, 198.5 range that we're seeing Heat Celtics in. It's like, it's crazy how low these totals are getting.
Yeah, they really are. I think you can wait out. Like, if you're going to take the Knicks in this game, I think you should probably wait a day or two and see how the money comes in, because it does look a little bit like it's going towards, like, Philly's going to get an extra half point or maybe one. Maybe one and a half. I'm seeing some. It opened at three, and we're already seeing 3.5s in a lot of places. So you might get a. You might want to wait for the 4.5. If you can find a 5, if it ever gets there, that'd be amazing. But I doubt it gets that high.
Open on the total was 202.5 down to 200.5 consensus. There's even 200s starting to pop up on the board. There's some weird times where my bet trackers will say, or like what's pricing the lines will tell me that there's a 207 available. And then I have to go check. Like it says right now, Bet Rivers has 207.5 available for this Knicks game. Just always check before you think that that's a real thing that you could take action on, because that just doesn't exist. I don't know why the bet tracker is putting that there. Any other sports series prices, prop angles? Is there really anything else that we need to talk about? There's not that much action to discuss as we get to a game five, game six, round one. Series are dwindling. Prices have reached consensus point. Travel advantage doesn't exist. Rest advantage no longer exists. Is there other areas where you guys are looking for bets?
I'll be monitoring player props. I kind of want to watch the first game of Minnesota-Denver. See what happens there. And my first thought with the Boston game tomorrow, while I didn't have much, was that maybe some sort of Derek White under, just figuring some, there'll be some regression off yesterday. And then also if Boston's blowing them out, maybe they'll sit them down to rest. Not a whole lot in the NBA otherwise than what we went over. Like you said, it's getting a little thin. Great basketball as a fan and an observer. Just have to be a little creative from the gambling perspective, which is what we all care about mostly. And because before, as Drew said, it's very efficient right now. Pregame sides and totals, finishing near the number and stuff. So just have to be creative with in-game and looking for props and half times and stuff like that.
Yeah, keeping your eyes on the live stuff is really, really key. You can kind of get a feel in the game, especially one of the things I've noticed is the winner of the first quarter, at least now I don't have any numbers to back this up. This is just something I've sort of had in the back of my head on a couple of games. The winner of the first quarter has lost a lot of these games over the course of the playoffs, at least from what I've seen. Again, zero actual numbers on this. I'd be interested to actually delve into that a little further, and I'll come back to you maybe next week with some info on that. But I've definitely seen, you know, some 21-16 first quarters where then the other team just goes on a run the other way, and the original winner of the first couldn't get anything going again. Some adjustments after the first quarter, some key timeouts, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we definitely saw that with the Knicks today. I mean, 76ers scored 17 in the first and then came out blistering in the second and ended up sneaking that game to overtime and pulling it out. The Cavaliers versus Magic just opened for game, what is that now, six back in Orlando. Cavaliers up 3-2. We are seeing Cavaliers open as a three-point road underdog. This was closed at Orlando Magic -2.5 for both games that they were in Orlando. Orlando would go on to cover both of those games. Cleveland would come home. We just talked about how Orlando made a meaningless three, so it's essentially a push on tonight's spread, but or you could call it Orlando covering on a meaningless late shot. I don't know how you want to read into that for the next game. Now we're getting a little extra half a point on the Cavalier side, or you're paying a little bit of steeper price on the Magic side that might be related to Jared Allen's injury and that he might not be available for next game because that was late injury news. Mike, is there any initial read on getting an extra half a point on Cavaliers, or do you want to buy into taking the Magic at home?
Yeah, I would probably take the Magic there. Just feels like a seven game series. Their home court's been really strong. I'm still sitting on what I said at the last podcast a few weeks ago, where the Cleveland game won and the series minus 115. And I like Orlando in the spot. And if it gets to game seven, maybe I'll take the points with Orlando, try to hit a middle. But Orlando's home court is pretty strong. They easily could have won tonight's game. I might look at an Orlando money line there, which would probably be, call it minus 140, minus 150-ish. I might look at that and try to grab Cleveland plus points in game for maybe half the unit back. But I think Orlando will win and make it a seven-game series there if I had to take it. That's what I would do.
Drew, the total opens for that one at 203.5. It is 3 points higher than any total that we've seen recently in these games. Is that just due to maybe no Jared Allen and the Cavs are going a little smaller in spacing, probably Wendell Carter Jr. starting for the Magic and then going away from that, we're going to start Jonathan Isaac at the very start of the playoffs, even though we haven't started him all year? I thought that was very confusing from Jamal Mosley. Now he's inserted an offensive big and who's clearly scoring at the start of games. Wendell started this game with two quick buckets. 203.5. Do we grab a quick under, or are we scared that this is randomly priced 3 points higher?
I'm a bit scared, to be honest. Orlando's offense has actually looked like an NBA offense for three games now. So that leads me to believe that they can score over 100 points on these Cavs, especially without Jared Allen. We just saw them do it in Cleveland, and we've seen the way they scored in Orlando when they were there. We've been on the role players playing better at home trend this whole playoff so far. I think that trend continues, and we should probably either stay away or maybe consider an over. Again, it's probably like if this game is 104-100. Just like tonight's game was, I would not surprise me in the slightest.
Mike, any reactions to the total, and then we'll get out of here.
I agree. I kind of agree with Drew. I have a hard time taking an over just how the teams play, but obviously that's priced in. And in a tight game, I don't mind having an over, a low number there. So probably would lean to the over there too.
Okay, I'm gonna technically lean to the under right now. It's 203.5 at FanDuel. 202.5 at DraftKings points bet. Again, I was obviously recording this podcast as these numbers came live, so I'm going to have to go in and handicap them and look at where openings were and then start considering all of the metrics that I normally rely upon. So I am thinking I might go under, but I am not going to make that official yet. Definitely a quick podcast today, fellas. There's not that much to talk about as we work through a late first round NBA playoffs. These are sharp numbers. We have consensus points. We have tough markets to beat. And we have three professional gamblers who are starting to attack this via live betting. So you hear Mike say, I might take the money line here and look for a 50% buyback on the points in game. I might look to skip this game. And since I'm on Cleveland for the series, I'll grab plus points with Orlando in a future game. You have Drew trying to beat CLV and look for live playbacks too. Of course, you guys know that's what I do. That is the right way to do it in these markets. So we maybe come back next week and give more things that we're looking for in live games and go maybe do some strategy of live betting in addition to pregame lines that we are attacking. But to everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Hopefully these plays are something that you guys can still back and have conviction of. But I guess the biggest advice from this podcast would be make it small bets. Don't overexpose yourself in a tough market just because this game is going to mean a lot for Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. does not mean it needs to mean a lot for you and your bankroll. Just because this is going to be potentially legacy-defining game for Joel Embiid doesn't mean it has to be a legacy-defining moment for you as a sports bettor. We could sit back, watch the action, watch Tyrese Maxey ball the fuck out, and then we could come back and try to pick off, you know, round two spots, because we're going to start getting series where one team finishes early and the other team finishes late. We are then going to be able to pick off. This team is going to be tired because they haven't played. They've played, you know, four games over the last 6-7 days versus this other team is on 5 days rest. So we will have some of those spots emerging that we can really dig our teeth and sink our teeth into. But for now, these are tough slates to beat. So be careful. Hopefully we have a few good bets. I actually really like my spots on the board, but they are all small bets within those. Drew, Mike, thank you as always for being here, and we'll all talk soon.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.